This episode of the Warriors Huddle is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, the Athletic Club Oakland, a local sports bar I fucking love. Look, all of our social lives took a nasty hit during the pandemic, and one of the awesome things COVID stole was the ability to watch sports with friends. It's something I've loved my whole life, and good news, the Athletic Club has our backs and has given that right back to us. The ACO has shut down their entire side street, not some parklets. I'm talking about the entire side street, created an enormous outdoor space, called that space the Town Gardens, and filled it with tables and huge TVs and their full complement of great food. It's big, it's comfortable, but maybe most important, it's a great spot to watch any and every sport with anyone and everyone you want to. The Athletic Club is now our go-to spot to watch all sports, and with the NFL right up on the horizon, we hope you're going to join us there. In fact, if I see you at the ACO and you're in any type of huddle gear, beer, in fact, maybe beers on me. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans can be sports fans again.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram. No MT today, but with me per usual, my master of all things sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, I am fired up to announce one of my favorite guests. It's been way too long. The Golden State beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, the longest tenured guest on this show, and a man who has no problem pointing out stray cats at the Oakland Zoo, Mr. Rusty Simmons. What's going on, Rusty?
So true. Like, one of my greatest observation skills are animals moving in the lurking in the background. I'll catch them all.
Maxime, so look, we got hella stuff to talk about today. This is legitimately an emergency podcast. I know it's on our plate, and I'll not slow us down too much here. But shit, dude, I've been waiting to tell somebody this for like a year and a half, if not way longer. So right after my daughter was born, Rusty and I had already built the relationship, and I brought the kid to the zoo in a stroller, and Rusty accompanied me. And so we're walking around the Oakland Zoo and we're making conversation. And at least three times, dude, we're at like an enclosure, like looking at the lions or something, or at that like African savanna spot. And Rusty, without missing a beat, goes, "See that?" I'm like, "What? Yeah, the lion." He goes, no. "See that stray cat? That's a weird thing to do at the zoo, man. It's a weird thing to do. His eyesight's incredible, but I had to get that off my chest because it was distracting, if nothing else."
I'm really glad that you explained what was going on, because I thought this was common knowledge and I thought I was missing out on something. I mean, congrats, Rusty. I don't think I've ever seen a stray cat at the zoo.
Nobody does. Nobody's looking for stray cats. And I bet you he was silent because he's currently looking out the windows, pointing out some random ass animal right now. You know, I mean, who knows? But boys, we got things far more important to talk about.
I purposely live in Jack London Square so that I can sit on my porch and watch waterfowl come in. I know how animals work. I enjoy it. I watch them. I know where they're going to show up. It is really interesting if you're at a zoo with exotic animals when just a domestic cat comes into the building. Everybody should be paying attention to that. It's super interesting.
What I can tell you for sure is I was going to try to fight back, but any gentleman who knows how to casually drop the phrase waterfowl into a sentence, I mean, obviously knows what he's talking about when it comes to animals, man. So look, I'll take this black eye. I was wrong. My bad. Incredible skill set, boys. We got to talk about Wiggins. So I said emergency podcast. I meant it. We released an episode of Locked On Warriors like 30 minutes ago because we thought that there was no way that we were going to be able to record. And then this Wiggins things erupts and we've got to talk about it. And a lot of it came out of an article written by Mr. Simmons, "Why Andrew Wiggins' Anti-Vaccination Choice Gives Warriors Reason to Worry." So, complicated situation, and what I want to do is use some simple questions to kind of figure it out. So, Rusty, we got a new segment. It's not in particularly complicated. We call it 5 Golden Questions. Generally speaking, these questions come from the audience. Today, they don't. They come from me, and they're all Wiggins-related. Let's start at the easy one. Yeah, so Wiggins is not vaccinated, at least currently. Rusty, as things stand, Can Andrew Wiggins play home games? And if not, why not?
He cannot. He is unvaccinated and unmoved in that decision. The Warriors have done a lot to, I'm not going to say try to sway him, but have set, just tried to lay out all the different details of the scenario, whether it's science or they had a doctor come in and talk to him about the pain and suffering and Dez that she's seen. Steve Kerr, others have gone above and beyond, like trying to figure out Black history and all of the things that might lead to mistrust or probably should lead to mistrust.
Sure.
over the years, over the centuries in this country. So the Warriors have just basically their role in this has been trying to lay out all everything, any idea that you could have, lay all that out for Andrew. He is not moved. He is not planning on getting vaccinated. And because of that, he will not be able to play in home games.
Any explanation? So you just touched some of the hot button issues, right? And I haven't heard anything about Wiggins' decision not to be vaccinated outside of just the bottom line that he is not vaccinated. Has he provided any details? I mean, you know, like the oppression of minorities, a distrust of science. I mean, something. Is there a bullet point behind what he's doing, or we just know the end game?
Yeah, he hasn't. In March, in a Zoom conference call with the rest of the writers, he said, look, man, I don't plan on getting the shots unless they absolutely make me do it. I'm not doing it. And the NBA has chosen not to mandate it. Now, the local jurisdictions outweigh any league, any NBA, right? So sure. In New York and San Francisco, they're allowed to say, oh, we don't care about any exemption that you get from your league. You cannot play here. And that's what San Francisco finally said today was no matter of medical, religious exemption, you are not, if you're above 12 years old and not vaccinated, not fully vaccinated, you are not allowed in the arena.
So there is my second question and you just hit it. I mean, what I was going to ask is what has to change? So obviously, you know, he gets vaccinated. Change, he's fine. If that's not the change that's coming, are there any other options here? I mean, if the religious exemption thing's off the table, the medical exemption, none of that shit's going to stick. Is there anything else or really it's vaccination or bust at this stage?
At this stage. I mean, but we've been in this long enough to know that things do change, right? Like San Francisco Department of Public Health has changed over time. They've adjusted toward science and toward the numbers. And as things happen, they adjust. I don't think, now this is probably naive after watching the last couple of years, but I don't think we'll be in the same situation by the time the season ends. And that's why I wrote that the Warriors are worried about his early season availability. I would bet at some point during this season that San Francisco does not have the exact same rules. I bet we've gotten far enough along in our vaccination percentages, that we've gotten far enough along in our ICU beds available, the death rates are down, the COVID rates are down, everything. I bet we get to a point where they're like, oh, okay, now we're making some progress. Now we can start backing off some of this stuff. But as of now, he is not allowed into an arena.
Attention listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston. Do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. This fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents, thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch, and is even waterproof. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code fansided20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you.
If you had to guess which one of these changes, you know, between the rock and the hard place, do you think Wiggins is more likely to flip his stance on vaccination, or the city and county of San Francisco is more likely to change their stance on the need for that vaccination?
I bet neither one of them change.
That doesn't make you feel very good.
Like, if I lost $350,000 for missing a game, that would really make me think. Like, no matter how much of a deep tenet in my life it was, if I lost $350,000, I'd be like, maybe I got to reconsider that. I don't know Andrew Wiggins a ton yet. Haven't been around him for more than just a couple of years since he's been here, but I don't get the idea that he backs off of these kind of things. And I think the same thing is true for San Francisco. I think that they've shown that they're going to be a little more cautious with most of these things. I bet it takes them a little while to get there. If it's just one or the other who's going to back down, I would bet neither. Now, when science numbers, percentages say something, then San Francisco probably backs down. But to this point, I don't see a reason why Andrew Wiggins would back down.
There's a ton of portions of this conversation, and I am, to be quite frank, not qualified really to talk about any of them. The only one I will venture into with some at least vocal inflection suggesting authority is the sports angle. And so, like, even if we're talking about just the early games, right, even if that's what the Warriors are worried about, let's say it's just the first 20 games. For next year, how tight the West is, who the Warriors want to be, you know, and the idea that Klay is probably not going to be back for those front 20 games either, that is, it's a big deal for the Warriors season as far as what happens. So I got two guess questions for you here, and then I've got a nasty emotional one. Let's get the guesses out of the way. Guess number one, what do you think is going to happen, man? I mean, it's just a guess, you know, but as we sit here right now, about a week from training camp, if you had to throw out something into the universe, this is how it's going to play out. What's your guess?
It's going to be a rough start. The Warriors are already going into the season without Klay Thompson and James Wiseman. And they're not going to have Andrew Wiggins for who knows how long, right? Earlier this week, the Warriors front office, ownership, coaching staff talked about, you know, if we can just kind of hang around 500 until Klay gets back here at the new year, maybe we got a chance. Then we start integrating him. Then we got a chance. Now they're looking at, are you excited about a starting lineup that's Stephen Curry, Damian Lee, Porter?
I'm already at no. You already know no. The second that Damian Lee was in there. Looney,
right? Like, if that's your lineup, you know how much I love Stephen Curry, and I'm of the ilk that if you got number 30, you got a chance, but it's going to be really hard when you look around this team and say, oh, yeah, he can keep us around 500 until Klay Thompson comes back.
I just want to get through an offseason where I can at least enjoy possibilities. You know, last year it was robbed from us with Klay's injury. This year, like, well, we had this draft and things are looking fine and the season's coming up and ESPN likes us and Vegas likes us and all these things are coming into shape. And then, you know, last minute, now we have another off the court thing to worry about. Let me have you another guess. And I am fascinated in this response, but let me double down on the word guess. Rusty is not reporting on this. This is a guess. Rusty, how do the Warriors feel about this stuff, man? I mean, what do you think? Either players, front office, you know, what's the affect that's coming out of that locker room right now?
It is so tough because there are other NBA organizations where it would be simple to guess. They would be furious. Like, what you want is your players to be available. They get mad about lesser issues like injuries. Like, this is like a deep belief. It's really hard to question somebody who has a belief about something. And like I said at the beginning, the Warriors are doing everything they can to study the history of these beliefs and to inform both themselves and Andrew on every possibility. It's really hard. I mean, if I had to guess what the Warriors are feeling, I would I would bet it's baffled. Like, we're all in this situation right now of trying to figure out what other people are dealing with when we do not walk in their shoes. And that's what the Warriors are dealing with right now.
Well, how do you solve a problem if you don't know exactly what the problem is? You know, I mean, and he is, Wiggins has a lot of things that's kind of defined him on the court. There's been really one thing that's defined him off the court is he's opaque. You know, we've made 1,000 jokes about, you know, the lack of personality and the lack of things that strike out about Wiggins. And if I was the front office right now dealing with this multifaceted problem, man, there's 1,000 things it could be. And he's not telling you any of them. And so you're basically negotiating in the blind. You're like, oh, what if it's this? Or what if it's a medical thing? Or what? That is the recipe to not solve a problem, you know? And, you know, talk about frustrating. Let's get to the emotional part, the personal one. And to give both you and I a little bit of time to let this question soak in, let's put Maxime on the spot. Maxime, how is this making you feel, man? Does this change your opinion about Wiggins when you heard this news and now you've heard this description from Rusty? Where are you at?
Yeah, it does not make me have a lot of sympathy for Wiggins. Also want to just point out quickly that while we've been on this call, Shams and Tim Bontemps have reported that the NBA has officially denied Wiggins' request for religious exemption. And that just sort of adds fuel to my fire on this. You know, it's the NBA is probably being conservative in this denial, in that if there was any possible way that it would be deemed legitimate that Andrew Wiggins has cause for a religious exemption, there's no way that they would deny this, which says to me that he really has no cause for asking for a religious exemption. And that is just kind of offensive, you know? It just, it means that he's putting up the middle finger to the Warriors organization, to religion, in a sense, and then also to the entire world. I continue to have to wear a mask, even though I'm fully vaccinated, because of the Delta variant, which has been propagated by people that aren't vaccinated. So I'm personally offended, and then also offended on behalf of this team that I love that is probably going to be significantly hampered, because even if, you know, we decide, oh, okay, well, then we're shipping Wiggins out, who the fuck is going to trade for Andrew Wiggins when he's refusing to get the shot?
So shockingly, I agree with you. So let's see, how am I going to wade into this? Let's start with the religious thing and more just kind of an objective measure. Wiggins doesn't have to have a personality off the court, right? We just talked about that. If you ask him what his favorite hobby is and then you get him not talking at all, fine, that's up to him. But if you're dealing with a gigantic problem like this, that's literally apparently going to prevent him from playing, and you're trying to work alongside him with the league, for example, to get a religious exemption, and you say something to the league like, all right, you know, no, this is for religious purposes. And then they look to Andrew Wiggins and you get the same silent approach that he's done to everything. Well, that's some bullshit. You know, if he has found a problem, if nothing else, I believe he has an obligation to work with the team to find a way around it. Let me get more subjective and let me get some background shit out of the way. Background number one. This is personal for me, boys. Very personal for me. I got a 6-year-old who cannot get vaccinated. If there's somebody's life on earth who I want to protect more than my daughter, I don't know who the fuck it is. And so I view people who refuse to get vaccinated as a threat to my kid. Maybe that's just me being an overprotective papa bear, right? But that's a part of this for me. I'll give you another personal thing. I've got a family member who's going through a real serious health concern. Until recently, that health concern prevented her from getting a vaccine. I would have killed to get her that vaccine. She would have killed to get that vaccine. Millions around the world would kill to get that vaccine. And so when I'm talking about this, you know, forgive me, I'm getting a little personally involved. And I should also hedge, I am not a racial minority. And I cannot come, if I chose to speak in a way that suggested I would understand how I would deal with this, if I were, that would be ridiculous. So I immediately acknowledge I can't speak from any position of authority on that. But some other baseline shit. I believe the vaccine cannot hurt you. I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it was developed by doctors who spent their entire life earning the type of knowledge you need to decide if something like this is safe. I believe it could save your life. I believe it could save the lives of everyone around you. So If those things, what I just told you, are wrong, then I'm wrong, boys. Ignore me. Ignore me across the world, all right? But if I'm right, then this is some bullshit, some selfish, misinformed bullshit. Scenario number one, all right? Let's assume the vaccine doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't, prevent COVID, but it also doesn't hurt you. Let's say that's true. Well, from that, he should take it as someone who's getting $340 a game, and he should do it to help the franchise. If he doesn't, do you know who he's telling fuck you to? To Klay Thompson, who did everything he could to get his body back so that they could come here and make another run. He's saying fuck you to Steph Curry, who's done everything he could through the last 2 years to keep this shit together, who has a finite title window and needs Andrew Wiggins more than anything. He's saying F you to the entire organization. Now let's assume I'm right on the other stuff. Let's assume the vaccine not only doesn't hurt you, it helps you, boys. It actually helps stop the spread of COVID. Well, if that's true and he's still refusing it, he's not just saying fuck you to the organization. He is saying fuck you to the world, to the nation, which is ridiculous. So again, this is personal for me, but opting out of the vaccine right now as COVID matures into these different variants is like watching your entire apartment building burn to the ground. And then when the firefighters come to put it out, you stop them from entering because you have a right to prevent your single apartment from, you know, it's up to me. I want my stuff to burn, so let everybody's stuff to burn. It's selfish, it's short-sighted, and I don't think it should be supported. Rusty, talk me off the ledge. You have always been far less crazy, you know, and you're not a homer in this instance. How does, if in any way, does this impact your view of Mr. Wiggins?
I get it. Like, it's tough for me, and I usually don't do these things, but I'll make it personal. I got some health issues that I want everybody around me to be vaccinated. It's very important to me that I can live on to the next day to do what I want to do. Now, anytime I say that, I have to realize that the other people also get to do what they want to do and that their body is their choice. Wiggins is a family guy. Those things are important to him. His beliefs are important to him. I don't know how I can tell him that what's important to him is any less important than what's to me. So that's how I approach these things. Is I can tell him honestly how I feel and what's important to me, but it would be absurd for me to think that he would listen to that if I wouldn't listen to what's important to him.
That makes sense to me. But what if you wanted to drive 160 miles an hour next to your car? Stop them, right?
Decisions have consequences. There's no doubt about that. And that works for both sides of this argument.
Yeah.
I can, as being a health risk, I can make the decision not to go to large events, even though I'm vaccinated and masked and stay 6 feet apart. I still have the ability to not go to those places. That would be a consequence. People who don't get vaccinated have consequences. In San Francisco, essentially, that is, you cannot go into these venues. You cannot play basketball. You will be fined for every game you miss.
Yeah, you're right. Maxime, does that make you feel any less filled with vitriol in this situation?
No, I almost feel like I don't think that those consequences are equal. It's sort of like, you know, if he's driving 160 miles an hour and not wearing a seatbelt, yes, that's technically against the law, right? There are reasons that law is in place for common good, but by and large, just to protect you. The problem is that, like, that'd be like him reaching over while he's driving 160 miles an hour and somehow unfastening your seatbelt.
If he wants to drive 55 miles an hour without a seatbelt, okay, that line was, you know, that was supposed to protect you. If he would like to drive 160 miles an hour, even with a seatbelt, no. That rule wasn't just designed to protect you. It was designed to protect all the people around you. And if you want to ignore it, it's not, your decision isn't only impacting you. It's impacting the safety of everyone around you. And when you live in a society, unfortunately, when there are, you know, safety rules in place, generally speaking, they're aimed at not just you. They're aimed at all the people around you.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, if it's my decision to not get on the freeway and drive to wherever I want to go. But at the same time, you know, that might be to something that, like, I need because I, you know, I want to see my friends, right? And I might want to see my friends at a venue. It's like, yeah, sure, I have the choice not to do that. But like, it seems a little bit unfair that somebody else can enact something that makes it so that I feel uncomfortable in certain environments.
Will this impact relationships, Rusty? I mean, so you have the, you are the perfect person to talk to about this for a lot of reasons. It's not just because of your connection with the team or the article you just read, and it's not because of our connection. You have watched Warriors and franchises and NBA teams for, you know, more than a decade. You know how important the locker room is. Is there a chance his decision right now, because he's the only one, you know, there's all the rest of these players are vaccinated. Is there a chance his decision is alienating him from the fellow players, not just from the fans and the team?
It's tough. It's so tough because one of the things that the Warriors obviously have amazing talent, amazing skill. But one of the things that has made them good, that allowed them to have a dynastic run, is that they were so close. It started out where they would have chapel on every Sunday, and then it became chapel before every game. And chapel wasn't always some religious thing. It was get in there and talk about social issues or talk about this or that. And, they actually spend time and talk to each other. They like each other. They're involved in each other's lives. They play for each other because of that. So if somebody doesn't want to play or is not doing what's possible to play, I shouldn't say doesn't want to play. He wants to play.
Yeah.
If somebody is not doing what it takes to play, of course that there's a possibility that starts a riff. And the Warriors as a front office and a team, as a coaching staff, are doing everything they can to kind of bridge that gap and say, look, we want to understand where you're coming from, but you also have to understand where we're coming from.
Like, right.
Availability is really important. And you're supposed to love your brothers. You're supposed to want to play hard for them. So it's a really hard back and forth, but there's absolutely no doubt that when things are that difficult, when things are that hard to understand, when you're coming from such different perspectives, of course there's a chance that can cause a rift.
Quantify it for me, and we'll end on a sports note. So let's begin with the rosiest of pictures. Take away this Wiggins thing. Let's say, pretend like it never happened. He is definitely playing. He's going to play every game. You know, he was vaccinated. What was the upside on where the Warriors could finish in the West in your mind? Top four, top six, top two, where do you think they'd end up if everything went the way we wanted it to?
Their goal and what I think the upside is top four. I thought Bob Myers explained it really well in the Chronicle the other day, where he said, look, we're going to have three iterations of the team this year. We're going to have the non-Clay team. Then we're going to have the integrate period of yep. trying to get Clay back, not sure how he can play, how much he can play, what he can do. Then we're going to be back at full strength. So you already had that on your plate, but I thought they had a chance with Andrew Wiggins to be around 500, which is what they had to do to yep. get through it. Then they were going to probably go through a little down spell when Clay first came back and was playing limited minutes, and they were trying to figure out what he could do. And then I bet they turn it on and are really good at the end of the season. Now I'm not sure they can survive that first part.
Yeah, there you go.
You might be so far down in the playoff race at that point that no matter how good Clay is, no matter how many teams can play at the end of the season, it might be really tough to come back.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a betting man, you've already answered it, but let me put it to you. So other side of the coin, let's quantify it. 20 games he misses, you know, and then something happens, something budges, medical science one way or the other changes the parameters on this thing. If he misses the first 20 games, do you think the Warriors can still be top four in the West? Because I do not.
No chance. Now you're talking, can they make the playoffs?
Right.
Yeah.
Ah, man, that is a depressing place to end this. Yeah, I mean, like, do you have any like funny stray cat stories or something else that you could bring up? Well, here? Maybe a waterfowl?
Hey, the G League team might be really good. So go.
Oh, you bastard. You bastard. Well, despite rubbing my face in a downer note, it is phenomenal to have you back. Welcome back, man. And for those out there who need way more Simmons in their life, where do they go? waterfowl.com still?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where everybody should go all the time. You should always be worried about all the water birds. Love them all. We should all be taking care of them as a society together.
This is normally where I drop a plug for our show, but instead I happen to know that Rusty's working on a pet project. So, and forgive me, I hope it's okay that I talk about this, but a lot of people like to go to zoos and like see exotic animals. Rusty's actually coming up with a park that just has household domestic pets. So if you want to just go and spot a cat, you know, maybe a canary or whatever, it's going to be out there. Rusty, when does that park open? Do you remember?
They have that already. They have like,
yeah, it's called My House.
I was in Denver not long ago where you could actually go to a coffee shop. And not only did you buy the coffee, you bought a cat that would hang out with you. these places exist.
Did you spend that time like spotting out other random creatures you weren't supposed to be spending time with? Like you're holding the cat and you're like, hey, look at that cockroach over there. And everybody kind of resented you.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. In those kind of scenarios, the cats are supposed to be there, but the centipedes are not.
Rusty, welcome back. And we appreciate you. Hopefully this thing plays out a little bit better than we put out there today, but I guess we'll find out. Go Warriors, you guys. Hopefully we'll see you next week.
Good, good.